Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is becoming a top-line-driven CIO. Our guests for today's show are George Chappelle and Catherine Boivy. George is the Senior Vice President and CIO at Sara Lee Corporation, and Catherine is the Senior Vice President Information Technology with Pacific Blue Cross. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, how's the January so far? I mean, it's already ending, and 2008 has started, and it just flew by. So you're looking at this year to also pass at the same pace as we saw 2007 going by?
I think for sure 2008 will be, if anything, faster pace than 2007 with all the challenges that were there and maybe more.
I agree. We are having more and different kind of challenges. It's not just technology per se, but how technology is used as an enabler to ensure that businesses, specifically our business, which is Pacific Blue Cross, can meet and exceed its goals.
Great. This topic, the top-line-driven CIO, this is based on the premise that we have always, literally historically, we've looked at IT as something which is always attached to a budget, that is, it's given a budget, and it's not given a P&L responsibility as you would do with a profit center. And it's always looked at whenever we have to write a check, we are going to write towards IT versus getting some money back from them. So This mindset that we want to change, I mean, this is a wave out there where all CIOs and all IT leaders are actually looking at IT becoming a profit center and becomes a source where the business really looks up to say, hey, show me the money. So what is the driver? What is making us making this happen? George?
I'm not sure the cost saving days of IS are completely over. I mean, there's still some opportunity in terms of automation, et cetera. But certainly there are some cases where IS can contribute to the top line. A lot of them in our business emerging on the marketing area where there are some technologies now that can solicit ideas or contribute to ideation around new products. And that holds a lot of promise for us, whether we tap into employees or suppliers or even consumers in general in terms of new products and interesting ways to collect ideas and turn them into feasible products that we can produce, market, and sell.
Yeah, I agree with George's comments. The only thing I'd like to add is that IT can't do this alone. They can't go and say, well, you know, I'm a profit center. It has to be done together with business. You have to work with business and show them the value that IT provides and use that as the stepping stone. The issue with the cost center, the issue with providing the basic and being known as the basic technology provider is always going to be there because credibility is the number one currency for the CIO. If the CIO can't run a stable operations, they don't have a hope in being recognized as part of the business line.
Now, if you were to think about an IT leader or a CIO as an entrepreneur who may always not be looking for saving his or her face or credibility as such, they need to think of IT as a bootstrapping initiative, and they have to do whatever it takes to take it to the next level, and they will earn kudos, of course, if they do a good job. I mean, I would like to introduce this Who Moved My Cheese book that you must have all read, and there was a phrase there, and rather a question that we should all ask ourselves. What would you do if you were not afraid? So if you were not afraid of IT's credibility to be always safeguarded, but you were going about doing your job, what would you have done?
What would we have done with IT?
Yeah. Would you actually keep, playing the cost-saving battle and keeping the executive management happy, or actually take the leap of faith and go and you know, create the value that IT so much can do, but not with those chains of constraints that are put around us.
Well, maybe I can start responding to this. In my case at Pacific Blue Cross, I am part of the senior management team. I report directly to the CEO. So I am part of the strategic planning team, and I am heard on how technology can enable Blue Cross's goals. And the way the change came about within Blue Cross is by showing that technology can make a difference and can provide our members better service and better product.
George?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I'm not sure that there's a lot I would do differently. I think you do need to focus on cost and revenue at the same time, and you know, most people that run businesses recognize that. But one thing that I would do, maybe a little more aggressively than I have, is I would deploy IS people in the business a little bit more than maybe I have in the past, because quite frankly, good IS people tend to have a very broad base of knowledge around many functions in a business just by the nature of how IS contributes to how a business runs. And I think in many cases, IS people are better business people than perhaps others in the business, and I'd do a better job of deploying them in the business than I have focused on in the past. That might be the area I'd go after.
Just to follow up on George's comments, is one of the things we have at Blue Cross, we have relationship managers who are IT's representative of business, and business's representative within IT, and they have to, in some cases, they are much better than business line managers because they know several areas and can integrate the needs and requirements and what makes them tick and what would provide more innovation and better business process management in that area.
Now, we all want, of course, IT to become an idea machine, and we would like to have all innovation coming out, at least most of it coming out of IT, and ways which could produce money or allow business to produce more money than it is already doing. Now, at the same time, as we already saw from the two leaders who are on the show, that they are both saying that, yes, we want to do it, but at the same time, we also have to run a well-oiled machine, which is a business machine or an IT machine, with the optimum level of efficiency and effectiveness. If we give such dual mandates, we want to eat the cake and have it too, or it is just something which is going to be impossible, which could later on be used as a scapegoat why we could not become a top-line driven IT organization?
Who are you asking?
Anyone.
One comment that I'd make on that in terms of having the cake and eating it too. I mean, everybody is subject to the constraints that exist within the company as a whole. So, you know, I'm not sure if I was the head of our company, for instance, I'm not sure that I would invest every dollar in IT as opposed to, say, new products or more efficient manufacturing capability, et cetera. And that's not to say that I wouldn't invest in IT. I would. But I think we all have to recognize that there are many, many different priorities in a company. IT is certainly one, and in our company it gets a lot of attention, but it still competes with others as well.
The same here. I mean, we have to show that the investment we are making IT Hoist supports our business goals, and we have a proper governance on how we get various initiatives approved. But I think if I could introduce the concept of learning from others, that you're not alone in the world. You have to talk to your peers, whether they're business peers or outside of the organization, other CIOs, to come up with new ideas and learn from others. That's an important part for CIOs to be able to further their IT organization.
So when we talk about the standards that we have already put around our IT just so that, you know, everything is done in a predictable fashion, and then we have done anywhere possible any kind of consolidation that we thought will bring about value. And, of course, after 2007, the Internet bubble burst, we had a lot of cost-cutting that happened. we have changed, or you can say stifled to some extent, the entrepreneurial spirit, which at all existed in the IT crew and maybe in the IT leadership. Now we are trying to get them out of that mold again. What is it going to take for us to pull them out of that inertia? Because now we don't have another bubble building. We are very skeptical as a country, as the world, which wants to spend money but want to watch it too.
I think one of the ways we do it here is by encouraging people to take courses, to go to conferences, and to hold informal pizza lunches to, just discuss, talk about new things and initiatives we could do. I'm not saying all of them result in millions of dollars worth of innovative initiatives or projects, but that's the start in order to get a change of mind, a change framework. If people get to hear from other CIOs what they are doing, or talk to their business peers, that's one of the way of doing it. And as I mentioned, in Canada, we have a CIO Association of Canada that has over 140 CIOs. That's what we do, is we network among each other what worked and what didn't, and learn from each other.
George?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the internet bubble and entrepreneurship and what that kind of era represented, and quite frankly, a lot of that entrepreneurial thinking was ill-founded, right? I mean, we've come to know that over time, and I think what's emerging now isn't necessarily less entrepreneurialism. I think it might even be more, but it's not as IT-centric as it once was. It's more business and IT-centric. And if you look at a lot of the startup companies now, while they're not internet-based solely, they are business-based with a heavy, heavy technology content. So, you know, it's an interesting shift. I'm not sure the bubble has burst completely, but it's definitely changed.
Now, for the smaller organization, what you mentioned does make sense, because now they are trying to make it more business-centric venture. Assuming that the same innovation or the same entrepreneurial culture was to be introduced in the larger organization, where you would have even more inertia, because those people are starting out. Here you have an existing organization, a set of people who are used to a certain culture or the changed culture in the last 5-6 years, and now we are trying to have them come out of that mold, if you will, and have them become a little more, innovative, or a little more, like as Catherine said, that they would have those lunches and start discussing that. But just having a discussion, and if you don't follow through, would it just look like, will that be misread by the crew out there, the IT crew, which you want to be innovative?
Well, the lunches were meant to change the framework to get people moved out of just doing the routine stuff to thinking of something more innovative. But I think the one way of changing culture for sure is rewarding people for new ideas, for ideas out of the box, whether the reward is sending them on a course or monetary, but rewarding them and showing that such behavior was rewarded.
George?
Yeah, most large companies would tell you that, at least in my experience, would tell you that what they want is a large company that has a small company feel and the quickness and innovative pace of a small company. So I'm not sure that at least in what people discuss, that they would argue against that type of mentality. I think the problem is that to create that type of entrepreneurialism within a large company, you've got to play two roles, right? You've got to be a small company, quick-thinking person operating within a big machine. And therein lies the problem. And in some cases, I think it's been very successful, certainly in our company and innovation and other areas. I think we move very quickly, and I think we have a small company feel. In other areas, we don't. And would we like it everywhere? We would, but it's very difficult to create.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the approach that enterprise IT has been taking all along, that is of having a central control so that they can keep some standardization, some predictability. And we are talking about creating innovative opportunities which will get us money, and those things will come from the end user. So that means the shift of computing should move towards end user. Can we do that and at the same time be able to keep the predictability intact? Let's talk more about it when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For today's topic is becoming a top-line-driven CIO, and our guests for today's show are George Chappelle and Catherine Boivy. George is the Senior Vice President and CIO at Sara Lee Corporation, and Catherine is the Senior Vice President, Information Technology with Pacific Blue Cross. Before the break, we spoke about control versus end-user choice in terms of what they want to compute with and what do they want to work on. Enterprise IT, on the other hand, always wanted to make sure that there is some standardization, there's some predictability and security in place, and that's why control was the main mantra. If we want to get revenue generation happen, then we need some end-user-based innovation that should happen, and they should kind of drive computing. So how we create that combination, or we just give the control or yield control to the end users and still be able to have the predictability that we so much need. Kathy?
From my point of view, the issue is, of standards is like having every train company deciding what train tracks they're train we run on, we would never run any trains. So there are some basics that we have to all agree on to follow, and innovation comes using those basic infrastructure to innovate on. I don't think right now so much the issue is every user area wants different standards, but every user area has a different innovative idea of how technology can be used, and not the basic infrastructure technology, but the one that deals with innovation, how it could be used to further business growth. And that's the part that you manage by making sure that you have a voice in all of those areas and that they consult you before they go forward or commit any money to it. So being involved, being visible, understanding the business is the way that you manage it.
Yeah, I don't like the word control. I mean, I think it's a negative word, and also it implies that someone or somebody is kind of dictating, and that's not the case. However, There's no doubt that standardization drives down cost. It drives down cost in infrastructure. It drives down cost in training. It allows you to leverage purchasing around certain devices. So I think the argument can be made and made successfully that it's not control. It's about cost and efficiency, as well as security. And you mentioned security. Security is a big, big deal. I mean, let's face it, particularly if you've got customer information or you're in kind of the credit card business where you're protecting personal information, security takes on a really different role than it did 10, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And standardization, again, lends itself towards a much more secure environment.
Now, if it were to be left to a competent IT leader who wants to have that top-line-driven IT organization, and, of course, costs have to be looked at, but there's also something known as opportunity cost of keeping the cost down. And if you create a good balance, what would a resulting environment look like? At what point you will allow the end-user choice computing kick off versus your control, you know, tapering down?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, you know, there must be a business case for change, right? I mean, there must be a valid business reason and or business case for an end user request that justifies a change from the current standard. So that's number one. Number two is the business case has to be complete. So it can't be, you know, I can save X amount in the business, but it's going to cost IT X plus Y to implement. So it needs to be end-to-end. To the extent it does both of those things, quite frankly, I'd support the change.
Would you create go ahead, Kevin. Sorry,
I just would add one small thing to George's comment, because I agree exactly with everything he said. The one thing I would add is that in order to gain more credibility, you have post-implementation project reviews where you show that it did meet those savings that or innovation that you projected and gain credibility through that.
Now, do you think there would be a possibility for an end user, while remaining within the framework that you would like them to, just to keep the environment secure and standardized to some extent, would you give them a sandbox each?
Yes. Not each, but I would give a sandbox. Now, they would have to pay a bit extra for the extra support that would require because they are non-standard. But if they can prove through a business case that this is more than just playing, more than just sandbox playing, meaning there is some results that eventually will be deliverable, I would start it with a small skunk works and look at the results and go from there.
George?
Well, you know, it's a slippery slope. I mean,
I know.
You know, the I think any of us could imagine us satisfying, you know, one-off requests for these type of things, and you can do it, you know, once, twice, three times. But you reach a point where the environment then becomes so difficult to manage that that you realize that you may have like I said, gone down a slippery slope. So I'd be a little reluctant to do that. I'd want to see the business case up front. I'd want to get a lot of input on what the environment will look like over time. And then rather than the sandbox, I'd either make a decision to do it or not.
And see, we've used this phrase business case quite a bit. And tell me this, though. When you do any kind of innovation, you want to play with things a little bit before you will hit a jackpot. And you do not always have a business case up front. So how do you foster such an environment where every little activity that somebody wants to do to kind of do that playing around for them to be able to hit a jackpot, you have to give them something versus asking or demanding business case up front. And that may not always possible be always possible, and there will be no innovation then.
That's true. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you can't have a complete business case up front. However, you can, I think, do a reasonably good job of ensuring that what you're pursuing is in line with the company strategy. It applies to where the company believes it should be going. It has relevance to areas of your business that you know you need to expand or contract. So I think there's a lot you can do without, let's say, a full-blown business case, but still ensuring that you're just not scatterbrained in terms of sandboxes in what you're pursuing?
One of the things we tried here is having small pilot projects to prove that the concept works. So the business case doesn't have to be that exhaustive and detailed because the dollar figures are smaller, and once we try it at a smaller scale, we have possibly more buy-in and possibly better success rate if it's proven on a smaller scale.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And already, we'll talk about the things where already we have the IT resources stretched too thin, just dealing with the current day-to-day issues and, of course, other initiatives that are going on. And on top of it, we want to get these revenue-generating initiatives filed on top of it. And, of course, as executive management, I'd be all that pleased that they will not write the check just because you want to be innovative. How would you get that additional bandwidth that is needed? Let's talk more about it when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
You don't need a fortune to create wealth for you and your loved ones. If you have equity in your home, have a self-directed individual retirement account, or your current income property is not working like it once did, let RealSource be your difference. RealSource at RealSource.net provides its real estate investor clients with the knowledge, the tools, and the deals to build wealth. RealSource at RealSource.net introduces clients to the industry's best market research, 24/7 expert counsel and coaching, and the nation's premier real estate investment advisors. Let RealSource be your difference. RealSource at RealSource.net.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. Today's topic is becoming a top-line-driven CIO. Our guests for today's show are George Chappell and Catherine Boivy. George is the Senior Vice President CIO at Sara Lee Corporation, and Catherine is the Senior Vice President Information Technology at Pacific Blue Cross. We were talking about already the stretched IT resources that we are using who are handling multiple fires any given day and, of course, working on initiatives that will bring the company on a stable state. At the same time, we want to make them innovative or have them participate in innovation-related work. Where is the bandwidth? George?
Well, you know, hopefully you drive down the number of fires over time, but to the extent that you're mired in both, it becomes difficult to support the project and the innovation side. Let's face it. I mean, if a company is in, or if your business in terms of IS is in trouble and you've got a lot of issues, you've got to solve that first. But again, I would hope in any company that's a temporary issue, and once you get that under control, you can probably invest in innovation.
Gotcha.
You know, it's a difficult question to answer because you don't per se mark a project as this project is innovation and this project isn't. So I look at innovation as a component of many projects. And I'm trying to think the last time we had a project that was just purely innovation. It, it is a smaller or larger part of other projects, and you support it and you foster it because you do need to have innovation as part of your project. But again, I can't remember one that was only innovation.
I mean, when we're talking about those sandbox initiatives, not maybe at the end user level, but overall, if you wanted to have something done, if you look at your IT portfolio on any given day, usually you would not find in today's day and age anybody being underutilized. They're almost at full capacity, the IT resources that you have. And mostly people is what we're referring to. And other is when we want to do something beyond what is already being used in the business, what would you do? I mean, you do not have the bandwidth. Are you going to ask these people to come for more time? Are you going to give some kind of incentive?
In our case, we have, if it is a new project that provides new business results and supports new business areas, we fund the additional people to do that. The existing staff takes care of what's going on now and does do some new projects, but when it is a large new project, we do fund the new people. The challenges for the CIO, and I'm sure George has the same challenges, percentage-wise, how much of your resources are allocated on what I call keeping the lights on versus new work, and this is one of our metrics, and that's what really the one of the CIO's task is to become a business leader and minimize the amount that's spent keeping the lights on and maximize the new projects that fund new initiatives.
Yeah, we did a show some time back, which was the Pied Piper CIO, and the reason I'm kind of bringing this up is because CIO has all the intentions and the agenda for his own personal growth as well as for the organization and his crew that they get and venture into these innovative ideas. Now, one is that he or she will go and try to get more money for that or try to squeeze out resources, but when it is not possible, then they also have to go and kind of mesmerize their own crew so that they overload themselves versus them trying to push their crew to work on these extra initiatives because there is something in it for them as well, although the crew, I mean. So since we are talking about a top-line-driven CIO, these are the things that a CIO has to do to be able to do good resource management and people management, that they do bring about innovation while all along not overburdening the crew. And they should not feel that they have been overburdened. So that's the trick, or that's the magic that the CIO has to bring about. What do you think?
And from my point of view, having new exciting initiatives does motivate the staff, and they do put in extra hours. But you have to pick and choose those because you don't want to exhaust them or have them work on the new projects and ignore the existing ones.
So, George, when was do you think you had had situations where you would say, hey, let's meet on a Saturday about this thing, and people were all gung-ho about it?
Well, I wouldn't imagine the response would be gung-ho, no. But I think, in a certain respect, what we're talking about is prioritization. And if there was something that was innovative and could help our business, I suspect the way we'd go about it, and we have, by the way, the way we'd go about it is we would stop some things that have less value. And, there is a finite limit to what you can work on, and there's a finite limit to human capacity in any organization. And when you throw something on top, let's say, a project that holds great promise for a company, what your responsibility to do is to take some work off the table. And to the extent you can do that, I think it works. And to the extent you keep piling on top, I think you run into trouble.
Now, the thing which you just mentioned is that which is more tactical, would you say? And it was more a science side of IT management. How about the art of mesmerizing your IT crew and exciting your IT crew so that they say, "Oh, let's go for it"? What do you do to bring that excitement?
Well, you know, I think one of the ways you can do it is to make sure there's relevance in what your IS group is doing to the overall company performance. You know, we have numerous projects in our group that are publicized externally that get some type of look by the analysts that follow our company, and we take a great source of pride in knowing that what we're doing in IS has relevance to the overall company performance, and I think that it does rally people around a certain cause in terms of the work they do and the effect it has on the company.
And here at Pacific Blue Cross, we pride ourselves of being a learning organization. So there's a lot of emphasis placed in learning new things and implementing new things that you have learned. And so if you foster a culture that says, here is what it does for the company and here is what it does for you as an individual, you will get buy-in. It's not always possible, and that's where the CIO really have to become a business leader to be able to bridge that gap of not only what it does for IT or the person, but what it does for the company.
Now, sometime back, or in fact even today, many organizations had R&D groups, which were of significant size, who were always out there trying to find new ways how they can leverage technology, along with some innovative business processes to bring about the top-line growth. As the 2000 bubble burst, we did see some of the companies actually totally got rid of the R&D, or they just reduced it to like one or two people. Don't we think that this is the time when we have to take that leap of faith again and try to invest back into an R&D cell, if you will, which is a structured way to go about innovation versus ad hoc? George?
It's an interesting point. I don't think we need to swing the pendulum back to where we once were. I think what's really emerged is that the capability of suppliers now is so much better than it was years ago, that if you structure yourself around utilizing your suppliers not only as just service providers, but as providing the capability to bring technology, new technology, innovative technology into your company, and you take almost like a procurement approach to how you utilize suppliers, not just the service delivery, but also the innovation, I think you can get a lot more out of that than trying to build an internal capability beyond just making sure your suppliers bring that capability with them.
And I agree. And in addition to what you're saying, this is one of the things that benefit us when we belong to the CIO Association Canada, because we share experiences of, we tried it, this is how it worked, or a couple of my staff did research in this, so we share such results so we don't have to redo it again. So it's not only sharing with vendors, but sharing with your peers through meeting your fellow CIOs, and know your mom wasn't right, it is okay to talk to strangers, meaning CIOs you don't know, and getting their feedback on what they have been doing and sharing that.
Now, based on what George and Catherine, you said, is most innovation, as you see, centered around upstream and downstream value chain players, or is it more, or you can say, is it more compared to what you could do within an organization? Because if you're going out and leveraging your suppliers and or other value chain players, that means we are looking at the innovation happening from outside of the company, but still can be leveraged for the top-line growth versus looking that much inside.
I think in our case, innovation can happen either from the inside or from the outside. If we can work together with the vendor and innovate, or we can do inside as well.
George?
I'm not sure that I understood the question completely, but one of the advantages suppliers have is they've got experience with other companies. To the extent that those companies aren't competitors or in your industry, you can learn a lot just by understanding the services they provide to other customers and some of the things they've seen other customers take advantage of. So I'm not that concerned whether the innovation comes from inside or outside, to be honest. But to the extent that it can be implemented well and easily and efficiently, and it helps us either become more efficient or create new capability, then it'll all work out well for us.
So what you, I mean, basically just to clarify on that question, I was just trying to figure out if we were to look at the innovation that has to happen or the top line growth, we should rather bank on the outside players who can help bring that extra experience that they have with other companies like yours and give you the ideas that could very well be leveraged and you can achieve the top line growth versus having your own big time R&D cell of sorts. So that is what I was trying to hint at. But then let's talk about the other things that you feel should be utilized or the changes that you would want to make in terms of processes or the people and the technology portion where you can possibly over a period of time get the innovation and get the top-line growth that you so desire. So would you change certain things because now you're trying to drive this profit center mantra into the organization?
You know, I think I would, but it comes back to something that I mentioned earlier, and that is, we've got very good people in IAS that are more than IAS people. In effect, they're business people. They know the processes of certain functions. They know how certain functions can or should work. And I think one area that could help lots of companies, not just ours, is deploying IAS people outside of IAS. I think that they would bring a technological capability that doesn't exist in many cases in certain areas of the business, as well as a level of business acumen that is at least comparable. And I think that could be a real game changer.
I agree. I think IT cannot operate in isolation. Everyone in IT has to know the business and has to know why they are there and what the revenue points are for the organization. As I mentioned, we have relationship managers who directly interact with the business. But I find that when there is a business issue, we get IT people involved because they know the various processes best because they coded it and tested it and so on and so forth. So we work together as a team, not so much, there is an IT team and a business team, but there is a joint team.
So let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the fact that executive management, they see the business going on as usual, but there is something brewing within the IT department. That is that now they want to show that, yes, we can show you the money. Now, if that's the case, what is the mindset change that will have to happen on the executive management front that they see what is coming and they're prepared for it, and then they're pleasantly surprised that IT is indeed showing them the money? So let's talk about it more when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Hey. The Wealth Spa helps small business owners achieve their most important business and life goals through independent, fee-only financial and legal consulting, money coaching, teleclasses, home study kits, and books. The Wealth Spa specializes in a holistic approach to business and personal finance, teaching entrepreneurs how to reduce financial stress, manage their money, get out of debt, grow a business into an empire, and achieve real financial freedom. To get a copy of the free special reports, how to avoid the top 10 money mistakes and how to avoid the top 10 business owner money mistakes, and to get a complimentary subscription to the Easing Prosper, visit thewealthspaladioshow.com.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For today's topic is becoming a top-line-driven CIO. Our guests for today's show are George Chappelle and Catherine Boivy. George is the Senior Vice President and CIO at Sara Lee Corporation, and Catherine is the Senior Vice President Information Technology at Pacific Blue Cross. Before the break, we touched the point where executive management, who is used to IT coming back to them with the mindset that they're a cost center, and now they want to become a profit center, or they are coming with a mindset that I will show you the money, believe in me, and work with me on this. So in order for them to change their mindset, which is set for so long, what is the responsibility, or what would IT leadership do or should do at their end so that they are not shocking the executive management when they come with similar proposals, and they are able to chime in because there is innovation happening on the executive management as well?
Well, from my point of view, this is a really important topic because this is what differentiates a CIO as a leader versus just a manager. This is where the CIO can present the benefits that technology can bring, but from a business point of view. So we won't say that because we have a new website to sell travel insurance, that looks cool. What the way we sell it is that because we have a brand new website that's designed very well, the abandoned rate in getting travel insurance has decreased considerably. That is something that the business understands. And one of the things that we are doing in Canada, we are having the CIO Association conference on April 17th and 18th. Looking at that, on what makes a CIO a business leader versus a dinosaur, meaning exactly what you described, where people only focus on details and what's going on now, eventually they'll become irrelevant. So it's important that CIOs behave more as business leaders and less as managers of details.
George?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I caught just the last half of it.
Okay, so basically we're talking about when we are now going to the executive management, they're used to us being the cost center kind of folks. We used to always go back with the request that, hey, give me the money, I need to spend it, whereas you give me the money or allow me to do this, 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 because I will now show you the money. So,
right.
So they're not used to this, and now we have to educate them and, you know, kind of prepare them that this is coming your way, so that they receive it well, and they're able to react the way you would want them to react.
Well, I think the reality today is certainly in our industry that, you know, when you're asking for money, you're competing for dollars based on a return, and you're expected to give a return back. In lots of the cases in IS, the return comes outside of the IS group, so you've got to be you know, a little bit demanding, a little bit unreasonable, and you've got to make sure you hold others accountable for the savings that are derived from IS projects, particularly in cases where the lion's share of it doesn't manifest itself in the IS budget. So I don't think that's particularly new, but I do think the emphasis on it is heightened, primarily because of poor economic conditions And in our industry, lots of commodity increases that now every dollar is scrutinized in a way it may not have been in the past.
So wouldn't it be fun if you for once see the executive management looking up to IT to safeguard or to take the business to the next level versus us always looking up to executive management to give us the money to do our thing?
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, I'm not sure that day is near. but at the same time, I do think that, technology plays a role in so many different areas of a company that maybe lots of people don't even realize that it probably doesn't get all of the respect it should. You know, give an example. I mean, without IT, how many companies could price an order, process an order, ship a product? Not many. So, I think that most senior people recognize that, and quite frankly, in the case of our company, have invested heavily in IS, so I know they recognize it, but whether that's the case in the predominant number of companies, I'm not sure.
There's one last question I would like to ask, respective leaders in your organization from an IT standpoint and the crew that you deal with, it all comes down to the kind of mindset you have and what you believe in, because that's what's going to drive the actions and the strategies and the tactics that you'll come up with, which will take you to the level where you want to reach from becoming a top-line-driven CIO and also a top-line-driven IT organization. So from a people management standpoint and self-management standpoint, what would be your message to the fellow counterparts in other organizations and their crew? Kathy?
From my point of view, the main message is know the business, know your business peers, and have a large enough network to benefit from other people's experiences, because you can't do it all by yourself.
George?
I think message would include a few points. One is, as an IS group, we're not order takers. So, the job is not to fulfill every request. It's to look at those requests and make a judgment as to which ones are valid or not. They're not valid. It's to raise that to a level that can be acted on in terms of what we will and won't do. So that would be number one. And then number two would be that the role has relevance to the overall performance of the company. I mean, I mentioned some of the things at our company where we can draw, one-to-one relationships between our strategy and our business performance and what we do in IS. And I'd want to make sure people understand that as an IS group within a company, there's a one-to-one correlation between the performance of the company and the performance of the IS group. And I think that if you get those two things right, then you're well on your way to creating a great team and hopefully enjoying lots of success.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, George and Catherine, for sharing your thoughts about what does it take to become a top-line-driven CIO and also build a top-line-driven IT organization.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Now, converting IT from being a cost center to a profit center and from being a merely an enabler to an innovator would need a significant effort on behalf of the IT leadership, and, of course, you would need the cooperation of its crew. While this transformation will surely bring value to the business, it will also allow IT to gain the respect that we always craved for, and the same the business matters. Now, this is a huge cultural change, which can be brought about with education and empowerment of your IT crew, and also converting the enterprise IT focus from being total control to the end choice computing, if possible, to a certain extent. If you've not tried this approach of becoming a top-line driven IT organization and or IT leader, take the leap of faith and go for it. It is definitely worth a shot. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com.
Join Sunjal Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.